You know, before we get to the message and before we start recording the message, I just want to say, as we were praising the Lord today, as we were listening to the Word today, as we were getting everything ready today, it's just, I was telling my wife this morning, I can't believe what God has done in our midst. And it, in just such a short time, and it's not because of any one of us, it's because of God. And as long as I believe, as long as we put the Lord first and as King of our lives, and as King of this synagogue, as head of this synagogue, then I think God is going to use us mightily. So I want you to just be encouraged today, even though, you know, some weeks it just feels like, oh, I'm coming again. You know, it was hard to get up Saturday morning. Everybody else is sleeping. Well, we're here, and you're doing something better than sleeping. You're here to listen. You're here to praise. You're here to worship. You're here to commune with the very one who created you, who created me, and who put this synagogue together. So let's just remember that today. You know, we sometimes get in ruts, and we just need to be encouraged sometimes. Be encouraged that God is in our midst, and He is doing things. And as long as we stay focused and with the Lord and putting Him first, we're just going to get on the train with God, and He's going to be conducting the train. You don't have to worry about it. You've never conducted a train before. It's okay. He's taking care of it. He's going to lead us. So I just wanted to give that shout out to the Lord this morning. I'm just very excited about what He continues to do in our midst. And today is no different. We're going to be talking about this series we have. And I think you can tell what it's about right there, Yeshua. But we wanted to do something a little different. And people ask all the time, who is the Messiah? Who is Yeshua? People think they know who He is. You know, if you ask a Muslim who Yeshua or Jesus is, oh, He was a great prophet. If you ask somebody that's into New Age, they'll say He was a great teacher. Even if you ask somebody in the world that's an atheist, they're going to say, well, He was a great man that taught some nice things. But is that all that He is? He is all of these things. And, you know, we live in this world. We function in this world. Maybe if you're lucky, if you're really, really holy, you pray like 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day. That means the other 22 hours or whatever you're not sleeping for, you're out there in the world, you got the TV on, you're looking at the internet, you're seeing, you're listening to people's interpretation of who He is. But we need to know who He really is according to what the Scriptures say. Not what the internet says, not what your friends say, and not what you say. It's what the Word of God says. So that's what this series is about. We're going to be talking about who is Yeshua. What are His roles as Messiah? He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. He's all of those things. He's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Spirit, the Lamb. We're going to be talking about these things. And today I want to focus in on the role of the priest for Yeshua. The role of the priest. Messiah actually is Mashiach in Hebrew, and it means anointed one. Yeshua is the anointed one, or the Messiah. The concept of the Messiah is the anointed one by definition. Messiah must have certain characteristics according to Scripture. The Jewish people have longed for a Messiah for a very, very long time. Throughout our history as Jewish people, we have longed for a Messiah since the very beginning. And people say, oh, this Messiah thing is a new concept. No, it's not. If you read early Jewish writings, if you read the Talmud, there's things in there. There's the messianic concept. Now, today in Judaism, modern-day traditional rabbinical Judaism is at the point now where, on the Reform side, they don't believe in a messianic figure. They don't believe in an anointed one. They believe in a messianic age, an age of peace, an age of goodwill. And some Jewish people think maybe we're in it now, or some people think it's to come when the lion lies down with the lamb, and whatever that means in their mindset. And you know, one of the biggest denominations, well, I think it's the biggest sect of Judaism in this country is the Reform movement. The Reform movement is a relatively new movement, but even in conservative Judaism, which kind of goes between Orthodox and Reform, there's debate on who is the Messiah. Who is it an anointed person, or is it a messianic age? Is it everybody treats everybody right, and that's being Messiah-like? But Judaism historically has clung to this idea of a person, an anointed one, an anointed person that would come and that would save them. And this Messiah was different for them based on their circumstances. When things were going great, he was probably a certain way in their mind. When things were going really bad, they were longing for a Messiah that would take them out of these bad circumstances. So it was, and so it is with us today. We're dependent and we're thinking about God based on our circumstances. We want God to be something based on what we're going through, to deliver us, to get us through those things. So through the good and the bad times in Israel's history, they've longed for a Messiah, but it's a lot of times been based on their circumstances. And they've had many people that have risen up as anointed ones, quote unquote, who did not fit the bill. But they thought so at the time. Oh, this person will help save us. This person will deliver us. This person will be the anointed one to carry us into that wonderful time with the Lord, where we long to be with the Lord again. But there was really, a lot of times, not a look in the Scriptures as far as the Messiah, as far as who the Messiah was. Because the Messiah is not bound by what we think he is, as I said a minute ago. He's not bound by our needs. Just because you have a need, just because I have a need, just because the Jewish people had needs over the years, it doesn't mean the Messiah is going to just become whatever we want. He is who he is, and we have to see him for who he is. God is there for us, yes. He's a compassionate God, yes. He's a deliverer from our circumstances, yes. But the Messiah is the anointed one, and he has a certain set of characteristics that we need to really look at. So you can know when somebody says, who is God? Who is this Yeshua? Who is the Messiah? You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. He is this, and this, and this. And that's what we're talking about today. One of the big roles that he plays is the office of priest. We have to know, we have to understand what this is. So much of the context of what we're going to be looking at today is obviously Vayikra, Leviticus. There's a whole book in the Scriptures dedicated to the Levitical priesthood, the idea of the priest, and also the book of Hebrews. So if you want to jot those two books down, we're going to be going through Scriptures, many of them in those two books today. You can go home and you can read these books and you can see the role of the priest and how Yeshua is that priest. But turn with me first, as we begin today, to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. And verse 1 says, Bring near to you Aaron, your brother. This is Moses. God's talking to Moses. Bring near to you Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, from among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. That's Exodus 28:1. This is the beginning. This is the opening sequence where God is saying, you know what? I need to create a priesthood. I need to create priests to do a very important work. And he's setting it up back in Exodus when the people of Israel came out. He's preparing them. He's saying, we have a role here to be played. The priests were from the tribe of Levi. Moses and Aaron were from the tribe of Levi. Aaron and his sons were a specific line in the tribe of Levi, the Kohanim, the priests that actually ministered in the tabernacle and the temple. Very important role. And the role of the priest was charged with taking care of the temple and the tabernacle. So if you think of the system that God had, called the temple sacrificial system, the tabernacle before the temple, the role of the priest was to take care of that facility, to take care of that institution. They were charged with taking care of it, but also Aaron and his sons charged with offering sacrifices for the people. The sacrifices, of course, were because of sin. Sin in our lives, sin in the world. Sin, basically, the definition of sin is separation from God. We have sin in our lives. We continue to sin. Even if we're believers, we still mess up. And the definition of sin is separation from God. It's what we do on a daily basis where we're not listening to God. We're going our own way. We're trying to do it with our own strength. And because of this issue of sin, which is so pervasive in all of our lives, and was so back then, God had to put this elaborate system together called the priesthood, this elaborate construction together called the temple, to deal with this problem of sin. We've chosen our own way since the time of Adam and Eve, and we continue to do that. And if you don't believe me, just open up the scriptures to probably hundreds of different scriptures. But what happens as a result of sin? We continue to sin in our lives. What's the result? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Sin is not something that we can take lightly. And God didn't take it lightly. Because the end result of your sin, if left unchecked in your life, is death. Now you may say, oh, I just stole a little piece of candy from the store. Well, that's a gateway sin. You know what I'm saying? That leads to bigger sin. You know, stealing a little piece of candy, and then you're doing this, and then you're doing that, and it kind of catches up. And if we leave our sinful nature unchecked, if we don't put boundaries upon that, if we don't deal with our sin, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And before long, we're just a completely different person. Sin has taken over. Sin is a powerful thing. We have to recognize that. And the wages of sin becomes death. The end result is death. We're talking about spiritual death, potentially physical death, depending on what the sin is. It's a very serious thing. And Romans 5:12, let's go to Romans 5:12, says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that man being Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So it wasn't just Adam that messed up for us, and we're in this bad situation. Let's just go blame Father Adam here. We continue to take after the characteristics of our forefather Adam. You know, you tend to take on the characteristics, good and bad, a lot of times bad, of your parents or people you're around. You hang out with people long enough, you're going to take on their characteristics. If you hang with a bad crowd, you're going to start acting that way. And so we look up to people in authority over us. We look up to our parents. You know, it's a hard thing in life when you see that your parents are your role models and they mess up and you see the sin in their lives, right? Or have you ever had like a role model in your life, somebody you really looked up to, and all of a sudden you see, oh boy, they're just as messed up as me. Kind of knocks them down. You know, when you're a kid, it's like the people above you are like superheroes. They can do no wrong. But then you realize everybody has this problem called sin. And the wages of sin is death. So it's a really huge problem. What we've sinned and we continue to sin. What is more, God cannot fellowship with sin. We talked about that last week. He is a holy God. Holy means set apart. God can't hang out with us when we're sinning like that. God doesn't need or want to be in that situation. God is holy, righteous, and good. Sin is not holy, righteous, and good. Sin leads to death, the opposite of what God is all about. So God cannot fellowship with sin, so God provided a way for us. And that way is that sacrificial system. Even back then, God was thinking, what do I do about this problem of sin? Well, he had a plan. It was this temple. It was the sacrificial system. It was using the Levitical priests to administer the sacrifices on behalf of the people. Because the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die because we sinned. Blood's got to be shed. God, in his mercy, allowed us to take our animals back then, right? Our currency, when we talked about it, like burning money. Well, we had to basically offer up our money of the time, our animals, in place of us. Somebody had to die because we continued to sin because the wages of sin is death. And God, thankfully, provided a way through the sacrificial system, through the blood of bulls and goats. Because Leviticus 17:11, let's look at this very, very important scripture in Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Sin is atoned for through blood. This is a very unique and important scripture, and this is where modern-day Judaism has gone astray. When the temple was destroyed, when the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there was a huge problem because we continued to sin even after that. And the rabbis knew it. But there was no way to offer the sacrifices anymore. So what did they do? They formed a new Judaism. A Judaism not based on Leviticus 17:11, because they couldn't do it. But now it's based on good works. That's your sacrifice. But it doesn't atone for our sins. Because if this is true back in Leviticus, it's supposed to be true today, right? Because the Bible doesn't just say one thing and then, okay, we can forget about that. We can't do it anymore. It's too hard. It doesn't have any effect anymore. That's not the case. Of course, we as believers, we know that the ultimate sacrifice came, Yeshua. And the believers back then knew it. About 40 years after Yeshua died, the temple was destroyed. The believers were preparing for it. They knew it was to come. They knew it was happening. They could see the sign of the times. And they knew that the life of the flesh is in the blood because they knew the scripture. And so modern day Judaism has gone off course. So that's why you see crazy things in Judaism. And I have a lot of respect for the sages and I have a lot of respect for the rabbis. Don't get me wrong. But on Yom Kippur, when the ultra-Orthodox in Brooklyn, they take the chicken and they slice the chicken's throat and they swing it around their head, they're trying to fulfill Leviticus 17:11 in their own way. Because even the Jewish people today, the Orthodox, know that that scripture is truth. And they know that there's a problem of sin that still goes on. And they know that only shed blood can atone for our sins. So we have to keep this scripture in the forefront of our minds. This Levitical system, as it was called, is this elaborate set of rituals, very elaborate, designed to atone for the sin that we commit. We continue to commit sins. We have to continue to sacrifice in the Levitical system. The priest's role was to facilitate that sacrifice for the people. Hugely important role of a priest so that their sins could be atoned for. Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. What more important of a role is there than a priest back then to fulfill this commandment so that Leviticus 17:11 can be fulfilled, so our sins can be atoned for? The role and the function of a priest was not confined only to the nation of Israel. In the biblical world, we know of other priests. It's not just this new concept that God made up in the Torah. People got even pagans got the fact that there's a problem back then. And they had their own priests. There was priests, pagan priests all over the place. To essentially do the same thing, to atone or facilitate the reconnection of their pagan gods and them. Just like in Judaism, we believe the one true God and us are reconnected because the shed blood of the sacrifices in the priestly system. Now we know that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, or Yitro, was a priest. It says he's a priest of Midian. There were other priests. This sin was a universal problem, universal thing. But God had a plan in the Levitical priesthood. So now let's go forward a little bit. Talk about this whole priest idea. I want you to turn. Now remember, priests had a lot of power, one of the most important roles in Israel, but also a worldwide important role for people. Let's turn together to Genesis 14. This is a very important scripture that we need to look through today. Genesis 14, 17 through 18. After his return, this is Abraham's return, from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him, Abraham, at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. So there's this king, the king of Salem. Salem is Jerusalem, by the way. King of Jerusalem, Melchizedek, this mysterious king and priest, comes out of nowhere and is talking with Abraham. Very mysterious person, only appears three times in all of Scripture, both Old and New Covenants. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He was the king of Salem. Salem, again, as I said, is Jerusalem, but Salem is also a word for shalom, for peace. So Melchizedek is king of righteousness and king of peace. Very interesting. Many commentators, and we could talk about this guy for hours. lot of really neat stuff about Melchizedek. But the things I want you to key in are that he was a king. He was also a priest. Many commentators believe that Melchizedek was none other than the Lord himself, God. And or the pre-incarnate Yeshua the Messiah. Okay, a lot of times God appears as an angel of the Lord in Scripture. There's debate as to who that angel of the Lord is. Many people believe it's Yeshua, pre-incarnate. Many people believe it's God himself. Or a lot of times angels acted and came as messengers of the Lord. They actually spoke for the Lord. And many people believe they were the Lord in a sense. Melchizedek, commentators believe, is the Lord himself and or the Messiah. Very important. And the reason they're thinking this is based on a couple of other scriptures, but also this king comes out of nowhere. He comes out of nowhere, and we're going to get to some other stuff that he does in a minute. But it says he was a priest of God Most High. Very interesting, a priest. Now remember that Aaron and his sons were to be priests before the Lord, the Kohanim, the Levitical line. Listen to how the Psalms describe the Messiah, right? We're talking about the Messiah being a priest. Turn to Psalm 110:4. Psalm 110, verse 4. This is another spotting of Melchizedek in Scripture. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It is absolutely, certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt that Psalm 110 is talking about the Messiah. If you ask any credible commentator, any credible scholar, they're going to tell you Psalm 110 is referring to the Messiah. Psalm 110, verse 1, which we're not going to get to, talks about King David and the Messiah and the relation to King David. Verse 4 is talking about Melchizedek. He's a priest. And this Messiah, without a doubt, the Scripture is talking about Messiah. This Messiah is going to be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Forever. He will function as a priest like Aaron and his sons, but he's going to be a priest forever like Melchizedek. So let's go back to Genesis 14 again. And we're going to read now the rest of this passage about Melchizedek. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." That's Melchizedek talking to Abram. Or Abraham, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Wow. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. A tithe is a tenth. But also, giving a tithe to somebody, giving a tithe was basically a form of worshiping somebody. It was a form of worship. The great Abraham, who won this major battle at the time, he comes in, the priest blesses him, and Abraham's like, "Yeah, you can bless me, but I'm going to tithe to you. I'm going to give you a tithe." He was basically worshiping this king of righteousness, king of peace. This sounds like Adonai Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, and Sar Shalom, which means Prince of Peace. Again, righteousness and peace, clearly talking about the Messiah. The fact that Abram paid tithes to him further goes along with the fact that this Melchizedek was an archetype of the Messiah, was God himself, was divine. I believe that this was God. I believe that this was pre-incarnate Yeshua. And remember, he's a priest. And the Messiah is to be a priest after him forever. So now let's jump forward to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go to verse 23-24. The former priests, now this is the Levitical priests. Remember, let's stop right there for a second. You follow with me. So the priests were set up from the tribe of Levi to administer, to do the priestly roles in the temple. But Yeshua the Messiah, or the Messiah itself, was to come from a different order, the order of Melchizedek, the order that doesn't go away. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews 7:23 as we remember that. The former priests, the Levitical priests, were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. They were just men. They continued to die. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. This is obviously talking about the Messiah. He's talking about the one who is to come in the order of Melchizedek, Yeshua himself. So let's just take that scripture in Hebrews. Let's go two verses before it. Verse 21, 22. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." That's the quote from the New Testament author of Hebrews is quoting back to Psalm 110. Verse 22, this makes Yeshua the guarantor of a better covenant. Listen, Levitical priesthood was a pretty great job if you had it, but you continued to die. And we continued to have to offer these sacrifices back then. There's a better covenant coming. There's a better priest from a different, better order that will not die, that reigns forever, and that is going to be a priest forever. This is what Hebrews is trying to tell us. Yeshua is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews even specifies who it is. It's not the Messiah. It's Yeshua the Messiah now. Yeshua is the guarantor of a better covenant. The covenant of the Mosaic Law prescribed that the priests would have to go over and over and go over again for sacrifices. Oops, I sinned again. Let me go bring another bull. Let me go bring another goat. Let me go bring another lamb. Oh boy, it's Yom Kippur again. I got to make sure that I'm written in the book of life. Let me go take another animal. Let's let the high priest go into the Holy of Holies this year because we did a lot of sins for the whole year. Yeshua is better than that. He is a priest forever. And the sacrifice that he is providing is one that's forever, one that's eternal, not one that we have to keep doing and doing and doing over and over again. And that sacrifice, obviously, we can read that through Scripture, but for the sake of time, I don't have it. But Yeshua is the priest giving the ultimate sacrifice. And listen, he is the sacrifice too. He is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. One of the words to describe him, if you can find it, it's like, where's Waldo? You've got to find the Lamb. He is the Lamb right there. You see the Lamb and the little U for Yeshua? He is the Lamb. He is the sacrifice. And he is the priest that administers the sacrifice. He can do multiple roles at once. He is the Messiah. There is no other. He's a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So listen, last scripture, Hebrews 5, 9 through 10. And being made perfect, he, Yeshua, became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. High priest after the order of Melchizedek means a priest forever. Yeshua provides that Leviticus 17:11 sacrifice that we need once and for all. We don't have to worry that there's no temple. We don't have to worry about doing all the good deeds and hoping that we're written into the book of life at Yom Kippur every year. Yeshua did that for us once and for all. He is a priest, but he's after the order of Melchizedek. He's a priest forever, offering the forever sacrifice. All we have to do is reach out and say, yep, I want that sacrifice. Yes, he is my priest. He is my king. He is my savior. He is my Messiah. That's who Yeshua is for us. That's the role of the priest that he is. So if you were to ask somebody, especially when you're talking to Jewish people, especially when you're talking to religious Jewish people, they understand the concept of blood sacrifice, even though they think good works can do it. Or if you go to Brooklyn, the chicken swinging around my head can do it. And I don't mean to make light of that and make fun of them, but I'm saying Leviticus 17:11, there must be shed blood for atonement of sins. Wages of sin is death. Yeshua is our forever priest and our forever sacrifice. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We don't have to worry when we mess up because, Lord, we all mess up. We all sin. We all still fall short of the glory of God. But thanks to you, Yeshua, thanks to your once and for all sacrifice as the Lamb, thanks for once and for all being the priest of the order of Melchizedek. We don't have to worry that you died, Yeshua, because you came back to life. We don't have to worry that you're of the Levitical line. You're of the line, you're of the order of Melchizedek. You're of the line of God himself. God is eternal, God is divine. That's who you are. And you fulfill that perfect role of priest. Lord, thank you for showing us your role as priest of our lives. I pray that, Lord, if people have never in this room or on listening on the podcast or the message, Lord, I pray that if there's someone that has never said, Lord, be the king and priest of my life, then I pray that they do it today. All you have to do is in your heart of hearts just say, Yeshua, I cannot continue to do this myself. I need that sacrifice for my sins. I need a priest to go before the Lord and offer the sacrifice. Listen, he is the priest that goes before the Lord for us, and he is the sacrifice that's offered for us. He is the all-in-one for us, Yeshua. And so I pray, Lord God, that more and more eyes would be open in this community of our Jewish people, of all people, Lord God, that they would see you as our priest in the order of Melchizedek. A priest that is not going to die, is not going to let us down, but a priest that's always going to be there administering that perfect sacrifice once and for all for our sins. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you we don't have to bring our money to burn, to sacrifice on the altar. We thank you that there is no need to keep going back and back and back with the sacrifices. What we need to do is continue to go back and back in prayer to you with a contrite heart and say, Lord, I sinned again. Please forgive me in the name of Yeshua, that forever priest. Yeshua, your blood covers over my sins. Leviticus 17:11 is fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Let's take to heart today that we have a priest that goes before the Lord for us, before the Father, that goes into the Holy of Holies. He has opened up that for us so that we can know God in a personal way, that we can have the Torah written on our hearts, Jeremiah 31:31-34. We couldn't do all those things. We mess up. But God, you provided a perfect way through your priest and under the order of Melchizedek and the Lamb of God, Yeshua, who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you, God. We rejoice in you today. And we pray, Lord God, you would just draw us closer and closer to you every day. Even as we continue to stumble, help us to pick ourselves up and say, Lord, please forgive me, my priest. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.